All right. Well, good morning. Happy New Year. If you can hear my voice and you're in the foyer, I would encourage you to join us here in the sanctuary. We're going to begin our worship service this morning. It's great to be gathered with you. As I said, it's a new year. I'm always excited with new years. It's a new opportunity to start things fresh and new. I hope you're excited for this new year as well. Today, if you're joining us, if you're online, I would encourage you to get some bread, get some juice or some wine. We're going to be taking communion together later. But it's a great morning for worshiping the Lord. If you are willing and able, please rise so you can worship God together.
What do you do? You shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God.
God is greater this morning. Amen. Would you sing this next song? How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great
What a great reminder. How great is our God this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come before you, Lord, this year in a new year, Lord, in a year of uncertainty, Lord. And last year was definitely filled with uncertainty, Lord. And I know that this year will probably also be filled with uncertainty. But we sing songs this morning reminding us of how great and how sovereign you are, Lord. Nothing that we face this year will surprise you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will be reminded of that every day, Lord, that we live. That no matter what we go through, you are great, Lord. That nothing that we come before can compare with you, Lord. As we continue on in worship, Lord, we pray that you would continue to reveal yourselves to us, Lord, in the songs that we sing, the message that Pastor Charles brings this morning. Lord, bring us closer to you this morning. In your name I pray.
Sits on heaven's mercy.
Worthy is the Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. A lightning rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And I will adore You. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, Jesus, Your name is power, bread and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I
He worthy of our praise. Would you please be seated? I'm so thankful that the Lord is holy, that He is just, and that He is good. I'm also thankful this morning that I can turn to the Lord in prayer and lift up to Him prayer requests, things that are on my heart to bring to Him. I have a list here of prayer requests from people from our church who also have things that they want prayer for. I would encourage you, as I do every week, write some of these down. You could be in prayer this week for somebody from our church. You can be in prayer this week for the prayer request to Patty Wilkins. She has two here. One is for her grandson, Everett. He's been sick for about a week now, just fever, a bug. He's just not feeling well, just prayer for recovery for him. If you have ever seen little kids when they're sick, it can be kind of sad to watch. So just prayers for him, as well as for their daughter-in-law. Her name is Erin, E-R-I-N-N, Erin. Prayers for her for healing, as well as for a baby that's due at the end of the month. She'll be having a baby end of January, so just prayers for healing for her, as well as for a safe delivery. Prayers for the Monger family. Pastor Colin's not here this morning. He's not feeling well. His family's not feeling well. And in the age we live in, it's just better to be cautious and not come. So Pastor Colin's not here this morning. His prayers that they would feel better and that get better quickly. Prayers for Maureen Founds, for her husband. His name is John. John had back surgery and is still recovering from back surgery. He's in a lot of pain. He's not really able to move around as well as he would like. And just prayers for recovery for John. And lastly here, for Barb Furman, her sister-in-law is having a procedure tomorrow done at Pottstown Hospital. So just prayers for her that the procedure would go well, the doctors would be awake, attentive, alert, and they would do a good job. And prayers for healing, for recovery. So I want to pray for these now. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? And once again, gracious Lord, I'm so thankful that we can come before you with these requests. Father, for Everett and for the Mongers, for John and for Erin, all dealing with illness, Father, I pray that you would heal their bodies, that you would give them strength, that they would be able to continue to do your will. And Father, for Barb's sister-in-law, that she would have a good procedure tomorrow, that it would be successful, that she would have a quick recovery and be able to be, Father, just once again living life as she has been. I pray for us this morning here in this place, Lord, that we can put aside our anxieties and fears and worries and the depression that we are struggling with or whatever we're going through, Father, that we could lay it at your feet and that we can just grow closer to you through the study of your word. I ask all this in your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, boys and girls, it is time for our Good News Mystery Box. If I can have you look at the screens, we're going to have the Good News Mystery Box. Good morning once again, boys and girls. Welcome back, Shepherd of the Hills. I'm out here in Bozeman, Montana at the American Computer and Robotics Museum. Now, guys, when I think robotics and I think state-of-the-art technology, I think Montana. Not really. I think of California. But I'm at a museum. See, this technology isn't new. It's actually really old. It's a history of how robotics and how computers were actually made. So, guys, I'm learning a whole lot here. It's really cool. Now, as always, I'm out here, and they've been gracious to let me share the message of Jesus while I'm here in Montana. So, boys and girls, you have sent me something in my mystery box that I want to take and turn into a message about Jesus. So with that in mind, let's see what's in our mystery box today. Oh, cool. Boys and girls, look, it's a duck. Or is it a mallard? Hey, wait a second. I know this duck. This is Pastor John's duck. Guys, this sits in his office. I know where this sits. Oh man, he must be getting pretty desperate sending me something from his office. Boys and girls, I need your help. I need you to send in more stuff for the mystery box because Pastor John's just giving me random stuff from his office. Ugh. Well, this mallard, as I said, it sits in Pastor John's office, and as I think about it, that's not where ducks are supposed to be, is it? See, ducks are meant to be out living life. They're supposed to be floating down the creek, or they're supposed to be flying across the air. But this poor duck just kind of sits there and watches Pastor John sleep all day. What a sad duck. Now, much the same way, boys and girls, in our lives, if we are sitting on the sidelines and we're not really doing anything, that's not what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to be out sharing the message of Jesus. So I want to encourage you, don't be like this duck who sits there and watches Pastor John. I want you to be out there in the world sharing Jesus, what God has done in your life, the love that he's shown you, the way that he has saved you from your sins and given you a purpose in life. So with that in mind, let's pray. And gracious Lord, we're so thankful that you love us. Father God, we're so thankful that you have saved us, that you have put us in the field, Lord, that we're able to be out in the world sharing your message, the message of love and redemption. I pray that you watch over these kids, bless them in the new year, help them to learn a whole lot, Lord, and help them learn about you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to keep learning about these old computers. You guys take care and have a great week. God bless. Before you head out, I need your help, though. Please bring in stuff for the mystery box. If you bring in something that you want back, make sure you put your name on it, have it on a piece of tape, and write your name on it. If it's disposable, like a diaper, and you don't want it back, it's okay. Don't put your name on it. I'll just get rid of it. If it's a diaper, I prefer it not be a used diaper. just so we're clear. All right, now if the kids would like to head out now, they're welcome to go back to the child's care room. Their adults are back there ready to work with them and to be with them. It's going to be a fun time. I wish I was back there with them because it's a lot of fun. And we are here this morning. We are here to worship the Lord. I have a few events that are coming up that I want to make sure you're aware of. First, I want to draw your attention to our events page. It's both in digital bulletin as well as on a printed bulletin. You have the events page here, and I would encourage you to be looking at that for things that are happening here at the church. But one thing that's happening today that I want to make sure I draw your attention to is Pizza with Bob. Bob Mendelson is here. He's one of our missionaries. I'm asking you to invite him up right now. He's going to share a little bit about who he is and the ministry that he does with Jews for Jesus.
And I would have come without pizza. But they wouldn't have. So thank you for inviting me. Shalom, everyone. It is a joy to be back here. This is about my 10th time at Shepherd. I have lived in Sydney, Australia for the last 23 years. And I'm just back for a short trip this time and go back on the 12th back to Sydney to work among the Jewish people. They didn't invite me to be their chaplain. But one by one, Jewish people across the globe are encountering Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean they're accepting him as Messiah yet, but many are. And I'm privileged to work in a group. I've been with Jews for Jesus. There we are. That's my wife. She's in Nashville with our two daughters and three grandsons who are there, and that's pretty cool. And we are privileged to serve on your behalf among Jewish people. And one of the great things about COVID, if we can ever say great and COVID in the same sentence, is that my ministry has gone global. I know you think, well, Bob, you are global. You're in Australia. That's true. But now, instead of my local Bible study being me and however many fit into that room in Sydney, now I've got people in New Hampshire, in Japan, in Korea, in all around Australia who are in my class every week. It's pretty ridiculously cool. And this is so cool. We had a Jewish woman who found me, who's a believer. She lives in Japan, in country Japan, not in Tokyo or major city. And she's married to a Japanese guy who's not a believer. That is, until Yom Kippur, when she dragged him to our Yom Kippur service online, and he gave his life to the Lord. And she told me that just a few days later. I was just over the moon. I've never witnessed to a Japanese guy in country Japan and shared the gospel and had him pray and receive the Lord. That kind of thing is happening one by one. But there are more of you guys than us guys, more Gentiles than Jews. So I seem to see more Well, God's an equal opportunity Savior, so that's okay. He loves Gentiles. He made so many Gentiles. Anyway, we find it a great thrill to serve on your behalf among the 100,000 who register as Jews in Australia and probably 250,000 who exist there with at least one Jewish parent. But as I say, my ministry continues to spread, and it's pretty lively. Just yesterday when I was at John and Cindy's, just as I got there, I got on my phone all kinds of conversations with this one particular Jewish guy. He's about 60 years old. He lives in Israel. He's ultra-Orthodox, and he's not open to the gospel. And he makes sure he tells me that every time, and we have our conversations. But he keeps up the conversation. He was born in Morocco, grew up in Barcelona in Spain, and has lived in Israel for 30 years. His third language is English. He prefers arguing in Spanish. So I speak and we type back and forth to each other in Spanish, and it's lively, and I just love that God is opening the eyes one by one of Jewish people. In our pizza time, I look forward to both pizza and you being there with me. We're going to share a little bit more about the ethos of Jews for Jesus and where we are globally. And I'm going to share just a tiny bit of my own personal testimony. And over in the fellowship hall, we've got some products that you can purchase using this credit card machine. How do you like that? And also, you'll be able to donate to Jews for Jesus. So I prefer that you donate through the church. That way, y'all get credit. But if you can't or you're somewhere else, this is amazing. Our tech guys in San Francisco are so clever. If you punch this in, j4j.co/603625, that actually logs you in as a shepherd today and me. I don't know how they do that. I don't care. It works. And so I'm really grateful. So if you want, you can donate that way. But the best always for our shepherd folk is to go through the committee here. I am grateful for 37 years of relationship with you. I don't take that lightly. When we found out and Colin and I spoke about the possibility of my coming during this particular trip, my first U.S. trip in 2 years, I said, well, my 45th wedding anniversary was yesterday. I was on an airplane coming to you. I'll see my wife tonight at 11 when I get home, when we get back together. I value you more than you know, and want to say thanks. Shalom.
All right, so once again, that's Bob Mendelson, and he will be with us in the fellowship hall after this service. If you didn't sign up, that's okay. Come join us anyways. I would encourage you just to come hear more about his ministry and the work that he's doing with the Jews for Jesus. All right, we have a couple other things that are happening here at the church. First off, I want to make sure you're aware that starting next week, January 9th, we're having a parenting class. It's actually 10 classes that will run for 10 weeks. It'll be during the second service, so 9:30 to 10:30 in the fellowship hall. If you have kids who are ages 2 through 12, I would encourage you to think about signing up for this. It's a class that is focused on how you can leave a Christian legacy in your children, how you can help raise them up to follow after Christ. That's the focus of this class. It's put on by Dr. Ron and Barb Christman. Ron Christman was a principal with the Boryton School District, is currently a professor at Eastern. His wife, Barb, actually founded our Christian preschool. They have been working with kids their entire lives, and they're very excited to be doing a class here for you all on how to raise your kids to be good believers in Christ. So that, once again, will be starting next Sunday on the 9th at 9:30 in the Sunday school room. You can sign up for that at the welcome desk or online so we know how many books that we will need. All right, and then I also want to make sure you're aware, we have a new members class starting on January 23rd. Last year we did them on the 2nd Sunday. This year we're going to do it on the 4th, so that'll be January 23rd. If you're new to the church, if you've been coming for a couple of weeks and you're curious about our theology, about what we believe, about how you can get more involved, I would encourage you to put your name down and come to this new membership class as we will go over all that stuff with you at that time. All right, well, if you have a Bible with you, I hope you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. You can go to the book of Jude. Hey, Jude. We're going to be in the book of Jude here. If you go to the book of Revelation and you turn back a single page, you'll be in Jude. So we're going to be in the book of Jude this morning. Now, it is a new year. I'm very excited for the new year. It is now 2022. And as we look in the book of Jude here, I'm excited for what the book of Jude has to share with us about how we should be living our lives. Now, if you ever graduated high school in America, you have probably read the Shakespearean play, Romeo and Juliet. In Romeo and Juliet, at the very start of the play, a guy comes on stage and tells you that the couple is going to die at the end. There is no surprise, he just kind of gives it away. In much the same way, I'm going to stand here this morning and tell you that the purpose of my message, what I want you to take away, is that you need to contend for the faith. I will explain what that means later, but the purpose of this message is to help you to understand that there are those who will try to lead you away from Christ. I want to encourage you to be contending for your faith. So with that in mind, we're going to pick up today in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. In Jude 1, we're going to be beginning in verse 1 here. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. The first thing I want to state here is the author. The author, the very first thing he tells us is his name. He's a man named Jude. Now, he identifies himself, the very first thing, as a servant of Jesus Christ. His identity is found in his service to the Lord. The other information we receive here is that he is a brother of James. Now, this is important that he identifies as a brother of James, and we know this because when you read Mark 6:3, it says this: "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" Tradition holds that this author, that Jude, is Jesus' half-brother. Now, I just read the list of names that are his half-brothers, and the name that is translated to be Jude could also be translated as Judas. You understand why somebody who was following after Jesus wouldn't want to be associated with the name of Judas, and why those who translate it now don't translate it as Judas. Because of Judas Iscariot. They don't want to be associated with that name, but we have a man named Jude here, and says he is a servant of Christ and brother of James, and it is to those who are called, beloved in God, the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. This book is written to believers. If you are sitting here this morning and you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a believer in Christ. You have acknowledged that he came, he lived a sinless life, that he died upon the cross, that he rose again, and he offers eternal life for all of those who believe in him. You are a believer. Now, this book was written almost 2,000 years ago, but it still holds that kernel of truth, that nugget of truth that is so important. That is the faith by which Jude is going to encourage these men and women to hold on to, that Jesus Christ came and died for them. So it says here, "May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you." Now, the idea of mercy is not receiving something which you are due, that you deserve punishment, but as a result, God has shown you mercy. He chooses not to punish, and as a result of having received mercy, you and I today can have peace in our lives. So you and I today aren't worried about God's judgment. We don't worry about whether or not God is going to smite us for our evil deeds. We recognize that we have seen God's mercy. As a result of that, we have peace in our lives, and that love should be multiplied. I want to encourage you this morning to continue to remember that you have received God's mercy, that you have peace today, and that you should be loving always. So we continue on here in verse 3. It says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unannounced, who long ago were destined for their condemnation. They are ungodly people. They pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Jude writes here, "The reason I wanted to write to you is because I wanted to tell you about our common faith." It's important to note, Jude himself was not a believer of Christ while Christ was on this earth. He was half-brothers with the man, but he did not follow after Jesus until after Jesus' death and resurrection. We read about that in Acts chapter 1, that he's one of those who were followers of Christ in Acts chapter 1. During the earthly ministry, he didn't follow Christ, but after Christ died and resurrected, he recognized that he was God, that he was the Lord and Savior, and that he was someone who was worthy of devoting his entire essence, of placing his identity into. So we have this man here, and his name is Jude. He's a brother of Jesus, and he writes for them, appealing for them to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He wanted to share with them about the faith, but instead he says he has to encourage them to contend. This idea of contending is actually an athletic term. It's a wrestling term. It is a strengthening form of the word meaning to agonize. Now, this is a new year. Many people in the new year tend to have New Year's resolutions, and one of those resolutions is to get in better shape, to eat better and exercise more. If that was your resolution this year, I want to encourage you to contend for that, to strive to do that. But recognize that in contending for that, if you're going to exercise more, the very first time that you work out your legs, the next day you're going to want to quit. I guarantee it. If you have worked out your legs hard, the very next day you go to get out of bed and you're walking, and you're kind of walking like this. And I kid you not, you're reaching over. Oh, no. And you can't bend down and pick stuff up. And the stairs are there, and they're an insurmountable goal. Oh. As you go to exercise and work out, this idea of contending for the faith deals with agony and it deals with persevering and pushing through. And in the same way, if you have decided this year to get in better shape, I want to encourage you to do that. But at the same time, he is encouraging them here to contend for their faith, to push on, to recognize it's not going to be easy. And if you're new to working out, it's going to be difficult. If you're new to the faith, to studying your Bible, to praying in the Spirit, it's going to be a difficult thing for you to do. It's not always easy to be a Christian. But Jude recognizes the value here, the importance of contending for the faith, so he encourages them to do so. And he tells them why, for certain people have crept in. And he explains that they are ungodly people. They pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. Now, grace is, in its essence, by its definition, the free and unmerited favor of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. The grace that you have received from God is not a result of anything that you have done. It is a result of God loving you. You have received God's grace. But what he says here, that there are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality. So we have this amazing grace, and they've taken this grace, and they've said, okay, as a result of God's grace, I know that God forgives me of my sins, so as a result of that, I can cheat on my taxes. It's okay. As a result of God's grace, because I know God will forgive me, I can cheat on my exam. Not a problem. Because of who God is and the grace that he gives me, I can cheat on my spouse. They had this idea that because God forgave them, because God loved them and forgives them, that they can live any way that they desired. And they have entered this church, and Jude is writing to them to say, this is not true. Contend for the faith. Do not let these people draw you away from God. As I said before, this book is written to encourage believers to contend for the faith. Don't abuse God's grace. Don't permit yourself to continue in sin, recognizing that you're doing something that is displeasing to God, but you continue to do it anyways. I want to encourage you to come alongside brothers and sisters in Christ, to live life together so that you can live a life effective for God. We continue reading here in Jude. Verse 5, it says this, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains until gloomy darkness, until the judgment of the day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality, and pursued unnatural desires. They serve as examples by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. He starts off by saying, now I want to remind you of this, meaning that they already know what he's going to say. That the things that he is referencing here are not new things. So we know that this church he's writing to are a Jewish population. And we know that because the things that he referenced are Jewish history. And he starts off with Jewish history 101. You have the Exodus. Now, keep in mind here, this is Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. And what I find very fascinating here is that he has given, says here that Jesus saved a people out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you look back at the book of Exodus, that was God. Now, Jude here, the half-brother of Jesus, is recognizing that his half-brother was God. There are a lot of people who will say, well, Jesus was a good person, but he wasn't God. He was a prophet, he was a nice guy, he was a great healer. He had some powers of some kind, but he wasn't God. But then you read something like this where Jude, who was the half-brother, recognized in his brother after his death and resurrection that he was the creator of the universe. So we have here this example of the Exodus generation. The Exodus generation, as I spoke about last week, if you were here last week, was a generation that lacked faith. Was a generation that when they saw good things happening for them, they believed in God, but as soon as it got difficult, they turned away. And as a result of that, it says that they perished. He also gives the example here of these angels, and the angels are referenced in Isaiah 14 with the fall of Satan in Revelation 12, 4, where it says here, he being the devil swept his tail and a third of the stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. You have the idea that these angels, those who have seen the glory of God, turned away from God. So the warning here is very clear. If those who have seen God's glory can choose to turn away, be on guard, contend for your faith, you might as well. Jude doesn't want to see them abandon the faith and walk away from God. He is encouraging them with these examples of people who didn't do it well. In the same way, he tells the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities which were destroyed as a result of their actions, as a result of not following after God. Matthew 6:33 tells us that to seek first the kingdom of God, seek God first, seek his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. This book is an encouragement to contend for the faith. It warns us that those who walk away face judgment. We have stories here of unbelief, continuing in verse 8. Yet in like manner, these people also, they're relying on their dreams, they're defiling the flesh, they reject authority, and they blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a judgment, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand only instinctively. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain. They abandon themselves in the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and they have perished in Korah's rebellion. These people also, they rely on their own dreams. It doesn't say here that they have received a vision from the Lord, that the Lord is telling them what they're supposed to be doing. They have their own desires, their own dreams that they have, and that they've chosen to, instead of going after God, they've chosen to follow their own dreams. And those dreams have led them to defile their flesh, to reject authority, and to blaspheme God, completely rejecting him. And then he gives this example here of the archangel Michael and his encounter with the devil. Do you know where that's found in the Bible? Anybody? It's not. It's interesting. See, we actually have a number of texts that are not found in our Bibles that are actually really good texts. So this story here of contending with Michael here and the argument over Moses' body is found from a book or a scroll known as the Assumptions of Moses. We have a small portion that has survived. We don't have the entirety of the text, but a portion of it has survived. And the idea here is to not to presume to pronounce judgment. So you have Michael, archangel, highest of angels. He has witnessed Satan's fall. He's witnessed him turning away from the Lord. And even he can't pronounce judgment. How then can we look around and see brothers and sisters who are failing and write them off and say, you know what, you have gone too far, you're beyond saving. Even Michael recognized that he didn't have that authority, neither do we. If you see a brother and sister in Christ, I want to encourage you, if they are sinning, to try and turn them back, to rebuke them, to contend for the faith, to let them know that this is something that's worth having, and what they're going after is not. And it says here, woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain. They abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error. They have perished in Korah's rebellion. Now, the story of Cain and Abel is found in the Bible. It's found in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, we have the story of Cain and Abel. Now, Cain, spoiler alert, kills Abel. So what happened here? Cain had offered a sacrifice that was unpleasing to God, whereas Abel offered a sacrifice that was pleasing. And in jealousy, Cain slays his brother, the first recorded murder in history. So we have here this example of what it looks like for someone who is jealous of somebody else and somebody who murders. His sacrifice was offered without faith, and he felt slighted by God for not accepting his offering. And then he has the story here of Balaam from Numbers 22 through 25. Now, if you've never read the story of Balaam before, I want to encourage you, write this down, Numbers 22 through 25. And then after you read that, I want you to go watch the movie Shrek. All right, if you're chuckling now, you know why. If you're not chuckling now, you probably don't know why. I would encourage you to read the story, then watch Shrek, you'll understand. What we have here in the story of Balaam, Balaam is a prophet. Balaam prophesies, and he is actually summoned and paid, and he's told that this by the foreign enemies of Israel, that they want to have a prophecy against Israel. And Balaam is very clear, I can't do that. If God tells me a prophecy, I can only tell you what the Lord has told to me. So again and again and again, they have prophecies that all say that Israel will flourish, that they will not be destroyed, that they cannot be stopped. And the enemy is very upset by this. Why won't you prophesy? Why won't you curse them? And here we have Balaam's error in chapter 31. He was guilty of one of the greatest sins. He was guilty of deliberately leading people into sin. He tells the foreign commander, all you have to do to defeat them is to marry your wives marry your daughters with their sons. If you marry your daughters with their sons, they will leave their God and follow after your gods, and then they will perish. That was his error. In the same way that Jude here is writing to these people and warning them, hey, be careful. You're being led astray by these guys who are within your church. And then in number 16, you have the story of Korah and Korah's rebellion and what happens in Korah's rebellion. He actually doesn't like Moses. He's tired of Moses the leader. He doesn't want Moses to lead any longer. He thinks Moses is no longer serving after God, that Moses is no longer the one who should be leading the Israelites. And he gets a group of followers to go with him and say, you know what, we're going to depose Moses, we're going to step in, and we're going to be better leaders. And as a result of that, they receive judgment by the earth literally opening up and swallowing them whole. In the same way here, they rejected authority. Jude is writing to this congregation and warning them, do not reject the authority which you've been given. Do not reject Christ. Contend for the faith. Contending for the faith means not abusing God's grace. It's a warning against turning back and going into apostasy. A warning against living without faith, leading others into sin, and rejecting the authority of God. That's what it looks like to contend for the faith. Jude writes here, and he writes a warning of what it looks like, what it means for those who don't do this. In Jude verse 12, it says, these men, they are hidden reeves at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. They are hidden reeves. No way to translate that would be blemishes at your love feast. When they would gather together, when they were the ecclesia, the body of Christ, they were coming together as a whole. These men were coming, and they weren't coming with the purpose of building up the body. They were coming for the sole purpose of feeding themselves, of taking what they desired for themselves. And there's a warning here that these men who do this are like waterless clouds. If you've ever been in a desert and looked up and seen a white cloud, watch it flowing across the sky, you recognize that that cloud has no water in it. It's not going to parch that land. I had a college roommate who, I remember when he purchased his house, he planted these apple trees. He was very excited. He actually planted multiple trees. He was excited. He wanted to have apples growing at his house. He wanted to be able to go out, pick an apple, and eat it. So 1 year goes by, then 2, 3, 4, 5 years. The trees are fully mature. They should be producing fruit regularly now. He should be able to go out and pick these apples. But there's nothing. So what he does is he goes and gets his chainsaw and chops them down and burns them in his fireplace. That's all they were good for. And the warning here from Jude is much the same thing. That these men who have entered your congregation, that they have joined with you, they are like these trees that are bearing no fruit. They're good for only one thing, to be pruned. They're, like it says here, wild waves of the sea. If you've ever seen YouTube videos of giant tsunamis, of giant waves that are in the ocean, you recognize that they can only do one thing. They destroy. It says lastly here that they are wandering stars. And you and I, when we go outside, we look up at the night sky and we can't really see the stars. I've been up in the mountains where there's no light pollution. I've walked outside and it has taken my breath away to see the creation which God has made. To look up and see those stars and to recognize that my Heavenly Father has placed them there and they have a purpose. People used to navigate by the stars. They used to utilize the stars. But it says here that these men who have entered their love feasts are like wandering stars. They're there for a second. They're a blip in the sky. And once again, they're good for nothing. These people, they abuse God's grace. They turn to apostasy. They lead others into sin. Are literally good for nothing. They are not within the will of God. Judah's writing here, telling these people to contend for the faith because they are going to try to take you away. And there is judgment for such wickedness. It says in verse 14, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodliness of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way. And of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken about, for these are grumblers, malcontents, they follow their own sinful desires, they are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Once again, the story of Enoch. Now we know who Enoch is. He's talked about in Genesis 5 as well as in Hebrews 11. We know about the man Enoch who walked with God and then was no more. But this quote from Enoch, once again, is not found in our Bibles. It's a portion that's found outside of our Bibles in the book of Enoch. Once again, they found portions of this along with the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's the idea here is of judgment. Will God judge me? Am I accountable to God? Ask that to yourself right now. Will God judge me? Am I accountable to God? Ultimately, the answer is yes. Now, you are accountable to God because of what Christ has done on the cross. But God has also placed you on this earth for a purpose. He's given you a task, something that he wants you to be doing. So you're accountable for God for that task as well. I want to encourage you guys to be continuing for the faith. Now, when I say contend for the faith, I didn't actually explain this very well at the beginning. The idea of contending for the faith is not contending for your individual faith. That's not what it's talking about here. It's contending for the faith as the whole. The entirety of the faith that these people are going to be drawn away, and that the faith, the belief that Jesus Christ came and died for you and for me is going to be corrupted in such a way that it will be lost. That's what Jude feared, that these people were going to corrupt the gospel message and turn people into people who just sinned constantly. I want to be encouraging you, contend for the faith. Now, he talks about next year how it is we're supposed to do that. But you must remember, beloved, this is in verse 17, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before I continue on, I want to point out here that he didn't consider himself an apostle. Whenever Paul talked about the apostles, he always wrote Paul an apostle of Christ. Jude recognized that he wasn't called by Jesus on earth. But it says here, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they said, in the last times there will be scoffers who are following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Those who have entered your congregation are not even believers. The Spirit is not in them. They don't have the Spirit of God. It is these who cause division, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment which has been stained by the flesh. In the last times there will be scoffers. Paul writes about this in Philippians. For many of whom I have often told you and tell you now with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their bellies, their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Those who have entered the congregation have their minds so focused on the things of this world that they are drawing you away from God. But it says here, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. Now, Pastor Colin was supposed to preach this morning. He was going to be preaching on a passage in Acts chapter 2. His desire was to cast a vision for what we see our church doing in the year 2022. Now, he has a slide here, and it says, Shepherd of the Hills, doing life together. This is the vision for our church for this year. We want people to be connecting with one another, to be contending for the faith, not as individuals, but contending for the faith as a whole. Now, Pastor Colin will be preaching on this next Sunday. I would encourage you, if you're able to be here, to hear about how it is we'll be doing life together here at Shepherd of the Hills. But it says here, to be building yourselves up in the faith, and also says to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not always easy. I struggle with prayer. I've struggled with prayer my entire life. Now, I have on my phone a list of prayer requests. But if you ask me to pray for something, you'll usually see I pull out my phone, and I'll type it in right away. If I don't make a list of stuff, nothing gets done. I will forget about it. So I have my prayer list, and oftentimes I'll go through, and I have this prayer list. And what happens is I'm going to pray, so I take out my prayer list, and I read through, and I pray for this, I pray for that, I pray for this, and I pray for that. And then I turn my phone off, I put it in my pocket, and I'm done. Is that praying in the Spirit? The idea of praying in the Spirit isn't just a to-do list where you're praying for something because you feel like you have to. The idea of praying in the Spirit is you are taking what's on your heart, the things that are important to you, and you are bringing them before the Heavenly Father, and at the same time, allowing time at the end of that prayer and meditation for the Lord to speak to you as well. As you pray in the Spirit, the things that you pray for will be the things that God wants for your life. I want to be encouraging you to be praying in the Spirit, to be building yourselves up in the faith, studying the Scriptures in the year 2022. And it says this, to have mercy on those who doubt, to save others by snatching them from the fire, show mercy with fear. You have received mercy this morning. If you are a believer in Christ, you have received the grace of our Heavenly Father. And Jude is encouraging those who have received that mercy to have mercy on those who are trying to draw them away. Snatch them out of the fire if possible. Continue to share the love of Christ with them. Do not allow them to have a position of authority in your church, but by all means, continue to love them as a believer in Christ. You are a believer. You are called to love the world. Just because somebody is doing something that is sinful or wrong does not mean that you should be judging them and not showing them love. Contending for the faith means not abusing God's grace. It's a warning against falling into apostasy, a warning against living life without faith, leading others into sin, rejecting the very authority of God. People who do this are not being used in God's plans. Instead, though, we want to encourage you to grow in your faith, to study Scripture, to pray in the Spirit, to contend for the faith this year in 2022. And with that in mind, let's pray. And gracious Lord, I do thank you for this morning, for the ability to gather here. Father, I'm so thankful for your mercy, for your love that was demonstrated for us on Calvary. Father, as we're going to be remembering what you did for us on the cross, Father, I just ask that we would continue to be able to focus on you. I prayed earlier, Lord, and I asked if there's anyone here who's dealing with anxiety or depression, or they have things that are on their minds, that Father, you could, we would put that aside, that we would give it to you, Father, that you would take it away from us, that we could focus on you. Because, Father, you are the only thing in this world that is worth focusing on. Father, I ask that you would allow us to continue to be used in your plan, that you would allow us to continue to focus on your glory, to share your love with those who we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to be sharing communion together. If you're watching online, if you want to grab your communion from your cupboard, I would encourage you to do that. If you have not grabbed one already, there are these little cups that are next to you in the pews. They're in the baskets. Now, I want to be encouraging you. Jesus said whenever you eat of this bread or you drink of this wine, to do so in remembrance of me. I want you to take an opportunity now to think back on your life. In prayer, to recognize what God has done for you, the mercy and grace that he has shown you. To thank God in remembrance for what he has done in your life. Would you please take this opportunity now to pray to God? Once again, gracious Lord, I'm so thankful for what you have done in my life. I thank you for what you do in the lives of this congregation, for each and every individual. Father, that you knew us before we were even born, that before the creation of the world, you knew who we would be. And Father, that you recognized our need for a Savior and you sent one in yourself, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for that testimony, that ability you give us to go out into the world and share that with others, the love that you have for your creation. Amen. Now, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had his final supper, his last meal with his disciples. And he took two commonplace, ordinary things. He took the wine and the bread. And he took that bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And in doing so, he was foreshadowing what would happen the very next day when his body would be broken and he would be placed on the cross. So would you please take and eat? And he also took the cup of wine. As I said before, Jesus, he recognized, he knew what was going to happen. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." He knew that he was going to be beaten, that he would be bloodied for you and for me. So with that in mind, I would encourage you, please take and drink. And Father, once again, we do thank you for your mercy and love. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior, that you are the only one who is capable of saving. Father, that you love your creation. Father, that you stepped down into creation, that you bore the cross for me. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to watch over us, continue to empower us, embolden us. Father, as we remember this, what you've done for us here, I pray that we don't just remember it here, but we take it into the world with us, that we share it with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors, all who we meet, that our identity will be found in following after you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing one more song of worship?
Our God is great. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God is healer.
You might have noticed I didn't conclude the book of Jude. The book of Jude actually ends with a benediction. I want to read that now. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Would you please go in peace? And if you're able, please join us in the fellowship hall for pizza and Bob Middleton. God bless.